We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Can I do an art critic review of dick pics?
Well, that's what I was just about to say. Go ahead.
It's about the backlighting and like the glow of the dick, but
the shadows and the highlights.
Yeah, exactly.
Throw that bitch in.
I want to analyze the composition. Does it meet the rule of thirds of like your dick in the middle, but maybe your face is in the back upper third, or maybe it's your face is in the frontal top two thirds, and then your dick is in the bottom. It's kind of like a diagonal of face, abs, dick. Welcome to the Holy Hour.
I'm Amelia Sampson.
And I'm Liz Ball.
It took us so long to do that intro.
Yeah.
I started to panic.
I always get sweaty.
Yeah, me too.
Even though we've already been recording for a little while.
It is the easiest part of the podcast and always the hardest for us to do. I don't know what that is.
It's because we're like, we have to transition into talking about things.
What's my name?
What do you think of guys who won't kiss you after you've gone down on them?
That's a good question. I've actually never run into that.
Really?
Yeah, I'm trying to think if I have. No. No, guys have kissed me after they've come in my mouth. I'm already going to tell my parents not to listen to this episode. I've already decided. But yeah, then I'm like, yeah, sure. But then I think about it and like I kiss them after they go down on me. So,
oh, yeah.
Like, fuck it. Let's fucking go.
I am annoyed by guys who are like, oh, well, you gotta like brush your teeth.
Well, you go wash your dick so I don't have to brush my teeth every time I blow you.
Did you wash your dick? It should be fine.
Yeah, right. What's up with your dick that it's acceptable for it to be in my mouth but not yours? That's unfair.
This is part of your body.
Inequality. Yeah. This is part of your body.
Frankly, I find this behavior homophobic. Fellas, is it gay to suck your own dick?
Oh my god. Wow. I can't believe nobody's ever. How often does that happen to you? Or did that happen to you?
It happened to me in college.
I guess that tracks.
And that's about it. So, when I was recording by myself while you were out of town, someone sent me a question that I saved for when we could record together.
Fun.
And it wasn't like really relevant to like a specific topic. Like it wasn't a like part of the Consent is My King series or anything.
Right.
Because I felt like it would just be such a good question for you to answer, because I felt like you would have a better answer than me.
Oh god.
Or we could have a better discourse about it.
Okay.
What's the difference between getting over the honeymoon phase and love bombing?
Ooh.
And then additionally, he also asked, also tips for getting over someone who has love bombed you.
Holy shit.
Yeah, so the difference between honeymoon phase and love bombing.
Those are both really good questions. Mm-hmm. I think that love bombing is more intense. Like, I think that because I'm watching the guy that we talked about on last week's episode, or now 2 weeks ago, on the second part of Consent Is My King, love bomb his new girlfriend. And she is very publicly showing how their love story is unfolding. And it feels love bomby on his end and not on hers.
I think a huge difference between the honeymoon phase and love bombing is, like, a honeymoon phase is very natural. Mm-hmm. Like, you're not intentionally doing it. You're not intentionally trying to get them to become obsessed with you. And yeah. I do think love bombing is less, it's not very self-aware.
Totally.
But it does come from, like, a very narcissistic and manipulative place. Yeah. So the way love bombing works is they're going to, like, bombard you with all of this attention that and, like, admiration, and then they slowly take it away. Mm-hmm. And they take it away more and more. It's not like it just suddenly stops.
Yeah.
It's like they take it. This is more likely in a relationship. They'll slowly take it away more and more, and then they'll give you a little bit back, and then it just kind of keeps you strung along.
Yeah.
Like, oh, well, they gave me a little bit back, so I can get back all of the love that they gave me before. Yeah. And then you keep trying, but I think the difference between a honeymoon phase coming to an end is you're just entering the next phase of your relationship where everything's a little more stable and you feel more comfortable confronting each other about stuff.
Yeah.
And maybe, like, after becoming more comfortable in a relationship with someone.
I think, yeah, no, I completely agree with you. I think I was coming at it from the direction of, like, from the outside, recognizing the difference.
Yeah.
From the inside, I think it's, like, definitely very easy to point out the difference. Like, the honeymoon phase is exciting and genuine, and love bombing is very desperate. It's like a desperate attempt to hook somebody in. Mm-hmm. And not in, like, an insecure way, like in a I'm going to keep this person cemented in place, in a manipulative sense. Like, if this question is coming from a place of concern of am I love bombing someone, you'll know. Like, you, like, if you're just excited about somebody, that's the honeymoon phase.
And a love bombing thing, I would say it comes from more of a place of insecurity.
Oh, yeah, and control. Just the need for control. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
That's a good point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But then from the outside, like, how the fuck are you supposed to really tell without knowing the person's character? And I don't think that there really is a way. And that's why narcissism is so scary, because, like, you don't know
what someone's relationship is like inside.
Yeah. And then, like, getting over being love bombed, my ex, it was kind of a different story, and I'm still not 100% sure that I was being love bombed by him, but I'm almost certain that I was, and that was just a lot of time to get over it. Time healed that. This most recent situation, like I said, I'm so damaged. I, like, didn't allow myself to get involved with this guy that we talked about on the second episode of Consent Is My King.
Also, like, you don't really have all your eggs in that one basket. No, you know, you're not doing that. You haven't been looking to do that.
No, like, definitely not. But it sucks because I could have. I was going through the texts mm-hmm. yesterday to see what else I could air out. and because I'm still feeling messy. I think if I was in a different headspace, if I was looking for a relationship right now, I would have so easily fallen into that trap. Because he was so, like, he, like, sent me a voice note of him telling his mom that I'm his wife, like, saying my name. He said my name to his mother. Yeah. Yeah.
What?
Yeah. And, like, stuff like that is so strange because,
like, I feel like he is enough of, like, a sociopath that he would hire someone to pretend to be his mom.
Oh, for sure. For sure. And, like, but he was doing shit like that. That's, like, that is so intense for somebody that you have never met. And I think that that's what makes it clear that somebody's love bombing is when it's, like, disproportionate to the situation.
Mm-hmm. He was doing that. That's when it's very obvious.
It's to 15 now. It's been up. It was 11 when we recorded the episode. It's 15 now. 15 women.
Oh, man.
I know. So anyway, to get over somebody that's been love bombing you, I think the only piece of advice outside of just time is recognizing that it has nothing to do with you. Like, that pain that you're feeling of trying to get over somebody that love bombed you is so independent of who you are as a person, and understanding that it's something about them that made them hurt you like that. It's the only way to separate yourself from the situation and mm-hmm. allow yourself to heal from it without thinking that you were lesser than because they dipped. Like, that love that you were getting from them probably feels a little invalid because of, like, it being a love bombing. But it doesn't say anything about you. It says everything about them.
Yeah, it says that they're a crazy person.
Yeah.
This is going to be very counterproductive for me to say, but find some peace in your anger.
Mm.
Like, when I know that this is what's easiest for me, if I've been hurt by someone, it's easier to kind of make that person the villain. Mm-hmm. And honestly, sometimes they are the fucking villain.
Yeah.
Especially if it's a circumstance where they've love bombed you, they yeah. were very reckless with your feelings, and that sucks. So to continue to, like, think about different things that they did that pisses you off and relish in living well. And, like, you can, like, I've been thinking about this a lot lately, how, like, the things I feel happy and successful about started from a place of, like, doing it out of, like, in spite of,
yes.
like, in spite of my old job, in spite of my ex, like,
yes,
in spite of people who don't like me, because the best revenge is living well.
Yeah, it really is.
I dated a guy who would say that all the time. He'd be like, well, the best revenge is living well, is the last guy I dated who was so non-problematic.
Yes.
but I was like, holy fuck, that's so true. The best revenge is living well.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and then it gets to a point where you've been working on yourself for so long that anger has dissipated.
Yeah.
And you're no longer doing it out of spite. You're just doing it for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And then suddenly you'll look around and be on a velvet green couch.
Recording a podcast
with someone who became your best friend.
Like, I love it.
Yes. I don't know. It's... Yeah, doing something out of spite can be, like, petty and fun, and mm-hmm. it's a good distraction, but also, like, give yourself some space for your mental health.
Yep.
Like, it wasn't all, like, easy breezy, I'm going to be mad and do all of this stuff, like, Elle Woods in Legally Blonde. Like,
yeah,
I cried a lot. I was sad a lot.
Yeah.
And I had to work through a lot of feelings, but, like, when you're not shying away from the hard work, you let it fuel you.
100% snaps. I realized through my breakup that, like, what's so frustrating about sadness and being hurt is feeling like I'm not coming out on top, which is a huge thing with, like, the best revenge is living well. It's like when you can take your broken heart and turn it into art, as everyone says, like, it makes it feel like it's not for nothing. I feel like I'm living well for the first time in a very long time. Like, I feel like I'm not alive, I'm living, which, again, I'm just, like, throwing a bunch of, like, fucking cliches into this rant, but it's true. Like, I think that
those kinds of cliches don't click until they actually finally yes. click in your head.
Yeah, right.
And it's repetition. You have to train your brain to think differently.
Yes.
So if that means starting with something petty,
mm-hmm.
and it's also, part of it is also sitting in the bad feelings. So when you yes. are angry and you're alone, just sitting there and being like, okay, well, what's underneath this anger?
Mm-hmm.
And then you continue to peel things back.
Yeah.
All the way to your childhood, all the way to their childhood.
Yeah.
It helps you find empathy.
It really does.
Even if they don't deserve it.
A lot of the things that I'm grateful for and proud of with myself, like my empathy, like the podcast, like everything that I'm doing right now that I'm proud of is the result of something fucking sucking.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
It's so true.
And that's a really cool thing. And I said this on Twitter just a few days ago. Like, I am almost, like, excited now when painful things happen. Like, whenever a door closes for me, I said this on a past episode too, whenever a door closes for me, I'm like, all right, fuck yeah. Because I know that I'm about to do something cool with that. And that was like a habit that I had to form. Like when bad things happen now, I feel almost kind of like, I feel like kind of like a Jack Nicholson crazy character. I'm like, oh, great. Like, I love pain because I do. Like, I've found a way to turn it into something good. And I feel like nothing can touch me in that sense. I'm sure I'm going to be hurt a lot in the future, but knowing that I don't have to be afraid of bad things happening now is very freeing.
Mm-hmm. And it definitely comes from practicing.
Yes. Oh my God. 2020, outside of like the very obvious worldwide issues, was the most painful life I could have lived, period, personally, for way too long. And so much beautiful shit came out of it. And I am very grateful for that. I wouldn't change anything really that happened in 2020. I feel like I'm like, this is like an MLM right now. I'm like, listen to me, go get your heart broken and then invite three friends. Sign up, you get 10% off.
Hashtag girl bosses.
You want to work from Wi-Fi? No, but really, like, I just, anytime anyone gets...
MLM for heartbreak. That's going to be the title of this episode.
MLM for heartbreak. We might be onto something here, honestly.
Heartbreak multi-level marketing. Hashtag girl boss.
Hashtag work from Wi-Fi.
Hashtag boy mom.
Oh my God, yes.
Technically, I am a boy mom.
That's true, you are. Look, you were already on the way. Anyway, don't be afraid to hurt because it's going to lead to some cool shit for you. That's my bottom line. Oh, I do have a question for you.
I probably
should have prepped you before so you can also cut this out. We can talk about it next week because it's like a thinker. I did a TikTok stitch thing for this. What do you think is the cringiest thing that somebody said to you in bed?
The cringiest thing someone said to me in bed? I can't think of any words as much as just like actions.
Oh, God.
Like the action. Like, you know how... Many, many episodes ago, back in our youth, when we called it a focus face, like when their focus face just makes you like drier than the Sahara.
Oh my God, the slack.
And that, oh God, I know that sounds like so rude, but when they have like their tongue sticking out.
Oh no. Like, oh no.
I've seen that a few times. I've seen that a couple times.
Lord help us all. I've never had anyone stick their tongue out. No! Uh-huh. Lord almighty. The focus face that I get a lot is...
Oh my God.
Slack jaw.
I have seen that too.
Why? What is that? Like, why? What? It doesn't... You have to work hard to do that.
I'm sure my face looks stupid too, but...
Probably not. Like, I think, like...
Or I think, like, when I think of the cringiest thing, I think of Shoe Man just being, like, painfully, like, into it when I was clearly not.
Uh-huh.
And then you're just, like, kind of embarrassed.
Feel like a vessel.
You're like, yeah, and their face looks stupid. They're like... They look like a baby trying to, like, eat a Cheerio.
Oh,
like,
my goodness.
You know what I'm talking about? It's like a baby being spoon fed with like their tongue out and they're like
oh, it's so awful. Fuck, it's been so long since
let's call it the Gerber face.
The Gerber face. You're so right. Oh my God, I hate it. Also just like anything that man does.
And then you close your eyes and you're just like, can I use my vibrator now?
Yeah, God. Imagining being
like
I'm else.
Going to pretend my future husband's fucking me.
Oh my God, wow, what a thought to have when you're with your boyfriend.
No, it was more just like replaying pornos I've liked.
I have done that as
my
well.
My eyes closed.
That's a really shitty feeling to be like, all right, what is going to get me off right now? Because it's not this.
Thinking this not about an orgy where you're not there.
Just like putting yourself in an out-of-body experience. Yeah. Wow, what a sad tale.
Having public sex with anyone else.
Yeah. Well, fuck. I mean, he was not, you know... I mean, you know how I feel about him. We don't need to recount.
Do you like movies? Of course you do. Do you love movies? Well, so do we. How's it? I'm Alex McCauley, host of Excuse the Intermission, a discussion show surrounding movies. Join me and my co-hosts Max Fosberg and Grant Colombini each week as we conversate about films from the past, the present, and the future through fun and engaging podcast formats like movie drafts, Hall of Fame lists, tournament brackets, and film reviews. So whether it's the newest blockbuster or a resurgent black and white cult favorite, you can count on us to keep you in the know on all things movie related. Excuse the Intermission is a part of the Chatter Network.
Oh, I do. This might be a good transish. I have a new bae.
Okay. I've been waiting, guys. I've been waiting to hear about this for so long.
I keep texting Liz, like, I have so much to tell you, but I have to wait until we're recording. I don't even know how to begin with this. It's not really a long story. There's not a lot, but it's like a lot. You know what I mean? So I'll just dive in. It's not a lot in quantity, a lot in quality. One of my videos got served on his For You page and he commented on it and we had like a little interaction in the comments and it led to him following me and I slid into his DMs and there was something about this man that turned me all the way on. Like, I don't know what it is. He's a good looking chap, but like, just talking to him, I was like sliding off my seat.
Young fellow.
Good looking. Yeah.
Quite a fox. Old sport.
I was about to say old sport. In the spirit of Gatsby. But yeah, I was just like, I texted Liz and I was like, girl, I sent you the voice note about it because I was like freaking out. Mm-hmm. I was so flustered. There's something so hot about him. And he's
folks,
so.
I have my reservations.
I know. She does. She has good reason to.
I don't trust these online boys.
I know. And I typically don't either. And even with the guy that we talked about on Consent is My Kink, like, I was apprehensive just for what I'm looking back on now is probably my gut telling me that something was wrong. I think I'm apprehensive about this kid because I have no reason to believe that I won't get hurt just, you know, based on history. Mm-hmm. So I'm feeling very protected. But he is so good at reading people. Like, he knows what I'm thinking or what I'm feeling at any given time. It's bizarre. Like, we've been FaceTime. I'm getting ahead of myself. So
I was going to ask if you guys have, like, FaceTime.
We FaceTime, like, every night.
Really?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Mm. And it's always like 3 hours fly by and we're both like, oh fuck. Like he's I don't know, Liz. I'm like a smitten kitten and it sucks.
I think Amelia needs to be with like a quiet little librarian man.
Really?
Yeah. You need to be with like someone who's not doing the same thing as you.
So we actually talked about that because he was saying that he never ever talks to other creators. He's like, it's just
I don't trust him. Difficult. I know you're listening. I don't trust you. You need to send me a resume reason. Or something.
Yeah, you got to get through Liz. She's the bodyguard to this club. She's the bouncer. But he's just so sweet. Like, I don't know. He just does like little cute shit that I like. Like he streams and he sent me a screenshot today. He texted me while he was streaming and he was like, I always check to see if you're there. And like he sent me a screenshot of my name. I was like, oh my God, I'm here. Hi. He's just like, it's cute little stuff like that. He'll just FaceTime me like in the middle of the workday and I'll be on a call and I'll text him. I'm like, are you okay? He's like, yeah, I just wanted your attention. And like, it's just like stuff that I do, you know? I'm like, but I'm apprehensive. I'm always apprehensive. And that's the thing is like, is this my gut or is it just past experience? And I don't know yet. So I'm not getting too ahead of myself. But anyway, so this is the juicy stuff.
As our psychiatrist would say, your gut instinct is calm.
Mm.
So was it like alarm bells when the last guy, when Mr. Crazy Pants...
oh, that's a good name for him. That's what his name is now.
Monsieur Crazy Pants?
Marcel.
when Mr. Crazy Pants, like, when you had a gut instinct, was it pretty chill? Were you like, something in me is telling me that this isn't going to go anywhere?
I feel like yes.
Like, when he was like, I'm going to fly you out to come see me, was your gut like, that's not happening?
Yeah. My gut was like, I'm going to get moited. But, like, that's also my anxiety. But then I look back on it, and I was like, I think that I knew that it was never going to come to fruition. Like, mm-hmm. I just knew. And I was right. But this feels almost different. And, like, I feel like when I speak this shit into existence is, like, when I really start to get, like, crazy about it. Like, obsessive about it. So I'm, like, trying to not get ahead of myself. But he has unlocked this, like, sexual side of me.
That's so fun.
It's so fun. Like, I love that. So I'm, like, I'm a little nervous about, like, talking, like, giving too much identifying information away just for his privacy. But he streams every day. And I was in one of the streams and he texted me something dirty during the stream, you know this much. And we just sexted while he was, like, live streaming. And I was telling him how hot it was to me that he was, like, texting me while everyone was watching.
It is really hot.
It's so hot. And he was like, I was about to get offline a half hour ago, but I knew that you were into this. So I'm online to keep you here.
That's so fun.
And then I was like, you know, it'd be hot for me as if you went and took care of that too. And knowing that I was responsible for it. And he signed right off. And I sent like some of my first like racy pictures to a man. It was very liberating. The pictures that I took.
Yeah, give us some details. Yeah. If you're willing.
I am.
Are they like full nude?
No, I still have never sent a full nude. I don't know if I'm ever going to. It's
pretty fun.
I know. I actually, now that I've sent this like almost nude, I'm feeling like I could do it. But it was, I took some thirst traps in like a lacy white thing like months ago, but I like X'd out the nips and I sent him like no X's on the nips. And it was just like
hashtag free the nipple.
Free the nipple. I sent him a bunch of those. And then I posted some thirst traps a couple of days later and he was like, I want some just for me. So I took some like thirst traps just for him, which was fun.
That is fun.
And then
I like that when they're like, do you have more?
Yeah, I know.
And then they're not even like, I like when they're like, I want pictures that no one else has seen, but they don't have to be nudes. They can just be like cute, flirty pictures.
Uh-huh. Exactly. Like I said, like, oh, I just took some thirst traps for you. It's like a thirst trap could just be your face, honestly. I was like, oh
my God. And then they send you a little drool emoji.
Yes.
And then they're like, fuck, you're so hot. And you're like,
I know. Thanks for also knowing. So today, this brings us to today. He's very a lot of his brand is educating other men on consent, so he's really, really careful of how he talks to me. Like whenever he asks me for anything, he's like, if it's okay with you, or like, I'm gonna think about you when I jack off, like if that's okay. I'm like, I love that shit. I'm like, do whatever the fuck you want in your brain.
I love when it's like sexy and also like asking for consent.
Yes. Yeah. It's God.
It's
consent's my king.
It's poetic.
Yeah.
It's so beautiful when they are like saying something like hot,
mm-hmm.
and like asking for your permission.
Yep. Yeah.
I also think that is easier for the receiver to decide where they're at on like the scale of like emotional safety.
Yes.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Because that's where you get the opportunity for enthusiastic consent. And that's what everyone wants. There's a huge difference between consent and enthusiastic consent.
Absolutely.
Because like consent can be like, yeah, I'm consenting to this because you have not stopped like bombarding me and I can't figure out how to get out of this situation. So yeah. I'm just going to quietly give you what you want until I can safely get away.
Yes. Yeah.
That is very different than being like, fuck yeah.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And that's the perfect segue to today because he asked for something from me and like was like, if you ever feel comfortable doing that. And then just left it at that. He wasn't like, I'm just going to like bring this up. You know what I mean? Like he wasn't like kind of like pushing at me to do it, mm-hmm. and it made me want to do it. I was like, fuck yeah, this is my fucking choice. So, I'm like feeling itchy talking about this, but I'm actually pretty excited about it. So,
your cheeks are getting a little flush.
Are they?
So cute.
I like this guy. I don't know what it is about him. I don't know. We'll see if I ever meet him. But he asked me, so we were FaceTiming last night, and he was just like being sexy. And he asked me if I can just go to sleep horny or if I have to like masturbate before going to bed. And I said, I can't go to sleep horny. And he was like, I really want to hear it sometime. No pressure. Yeah. And I was like, interesting proposition. And I thought about it for like a half hour. And then I was like, you know what? I'm going to just like masturbate and record myself, like just on audio. And he said to me, he's like, I don't need video. He's like, I just want to hear it. And so I did. And I was like,
I have a visual of like, if you had a tiny mic holding it up.
God damn it.
You're vibrating.
Oh yeah.
You put the mic down by the vibrator.
Should have gotten a tiny mic. God damn it. For the future. I'll have to remember that. That's so fucking funny. No, but I recorded it and I said his name, which he really loved.
Hell yeah.
And then I waited.
I'm having flashbacks to my sexting days.
It's fun.
She was so young. That was like a year ago.
I was jealous of you when you were doing that because I never sexted.
Oh my God. It is so hot when they say your name. That is such a good move.
Oh my God. Wait,
did he return the favor?
Okay. So no. So listen to this. So I waited. I held on to it all day until he was about to stream. And then I waited because he waits a few minutes after he goes live for people to join. And he's like muted and there's music playing and there's a countdown. So when there was 5 minutes left, I sent it to him. And
girl!
I watched him listen to it on stream. And his face was like, his eyebrows were raised and he was like, holy shit. And then he ducked out of frame for a sec. And then ducked back up. And then I had a voice note from him.
Aww.
I know. But it was just like, I feel like what I struggle with this kind of shit is feeling like if they leave, then I've like given them this thing and like they leave with it. And this feels different. If he were to stop talking to me tomorrow, it would fucking suck. It would hurt. But like, I wouldn't be like, but I gave you this, like, you know, because that was my choice. It was my decision to send it. And it felt so liberating doing that. Same with like the specific thirst traps. I'm like, fuck yeah. Like, this exists now in the world, and I don't give a fuck. And, like, I love that. And I think a lot of this has to do with the podcast.
That's also such a good point, too, though. Like, thinking about when you get to a point where you are enthusiastically consenting to, like, have this kind of, like, sexual dynamic online.
Yeah.
It is very hot.
It's so hot.
Because you can't actually have sex with them.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's a lot of fun. And also, like, knowing that you trust them enough to not violate that.
Yeah.
And when they are also asking for if it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's just such a hot combination.
It really is. And he's adult. It shows. Like, he's very... He's
mature.
And he's been through
mature.
It. Mature. You had a sexting experience that we haven't talked about in a long time. Are you comfortable talking about it?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. It was a year ago.
So, I wanted to ask, because we were talking about how it feels more powerful to know that it was your choice, but I also know that you left that feeling kind of... what's the word I'm looking for? Like, betrayed, because he kind of like dipped kind of quick out of nowhere. Did you feel like a part of that pain was because you had like these intimate experiences with him?
I think there's a combination of things because as we all know, I moved on pretty quickly.
Yeah, you did. You were fine. You came out fine, but it hurt in the moment.
Yeah, I was definitely bummed. I was bummed with how he handled it.
Yes.
Because, like, there was always something in my mind that was, like, and also when I think about it, like, he did give me a lot of attention.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't interpreting it as that much because I didn't know him in real life. I only knew him online.
Right.
Which is fucking weird, but it's the future.
It really is. And that was at the beginning of the pandemic too. So yeah, options had never been slimmer.
And also I think a big part of it just had to do with like being very like in a lonely and vulnerable place because of the pandemic. Like when I think about how crazy I was too, I'm saying I was crazy and I'm sure, and that is in comparison to how like I feel now in my relationship, which is pretty confident and laid back. But I would like go to his Twitter account. If he hadn't texted me or messaged me, I would go to his Twitter account to see if he had liked tweets.
Fuck, I do that shit. Not anymore, but like I've done that shit in so many instances.
And then now
it's such
I'm
a chaotic
like,
feeling.
Now if my boyfriend doesn't text me for like 8 to 12 hours, I'm like, well, it's a pretty busy day and we're both tired. And like,
yeah,
I'm going to play video games later. So
that is such a reflection of your inner peace.
When you just God. Well, it took me a long time to get here. And even now, like just saying like how I feel about something makes me anxious, but
you're getting there. That's like this huge growth.
There's my therapist told me I've made a lot of strides. So
oh my god, that's like an elite compliment from a therapist.
It's so true.
Holy
I'm like,
fuck.
She's like, you're doing really good work, and I'm like,
what do you mean it?
Thank you. What? Finally. Oh but I mean, I think that it hurt because I hadn't been excited about someone in a long time.
Yeah,
and I do think that he is, like, a very cool person. Mm-hmm. I think he might... I also got to make him what I wanted him to be a little bit in my head.
Yeah.
I think if we met in real life, we probably wouldn't get along.
I think so, too. I agree with that.
I just also think I'm, like, older than him, and it wouldn't have worked because he seems chaotic, but...
Yeah, I think he would have gotten all the way on your nerves.
Yeah.
I would, like, see some of the stuff that he would say publicly, so. And I'd be like...
Oh, that's that was a bold move.
You're above this.
But, I think part of it hurt because, like, he just wasn't upfront with me that he was starting to date someone. And that, like, I partially anticipated that. I was like, yeah, right. I'm hooking up with other people here. Like,
yeah. He just got shady about it.
Yeah. It's like, oh, I'll just... You know, tell me.
That's not too much to ask. It's really not.
But I would say for his age and who he is in general, he did pretty well. He did a lot better than most guys handle things. And when I went to him and told him that he hurt my feelings by how he handled it, he even handled that pretty well.
Yeah, he took responsibility for it. I was
like,
impressed.
He was like, totally. Like, yeah. I see what you're saying. I also could foresee if he listened to the podcast and he was like, oh, I don't really like that you talked about me.
Yeah.
And then, like, not really want to talk to me even as friends after that.
But even before you guys stopped, because you really didn't dive into it until he stopped talking to you. You, like, mentioned him briefly. But
that's
like,
true.
You know, he could have just said that if that was an issue. But yeah. I don't think it was. Yeah. I mean, he, like, loves attention, too. You can tell. But that's the last petty thing I'll say
also,
about him.
I mean, now he has a girlfriend and they've been together for a while now. And, like, if I were in her position and my boyfriend was talking to a girl he used to, like, sext and send nudes to just as friends, I would be like, this is uncomfortable for me and I don't like it.
Yeah.
So totally. I could totally see why he's like, yeah, I don't really want to, like, be your friend.
Right? I could totally get that.
Because he has a girlfriend that he's very in love with.
Yep, and that's very responsible of him.
Yeah, it's respectful, and I respect that.
Yeah.
So we got a letter from a listener. We just got a letter.
I wonder who it's from.
But she said she listened to our body hair episode.
Okay.
But she said, body hair positivity for the win. But if you like to shave as a personal preference, try Dollar Shave Club. Hashtag not sponsored over here. Gender neutral, high quality razors via monthly subscription.
Amazing.
This listener has been using them for years. And try trimmers for your pubes. That's actually what I've been doing lately. I put a little trimmer like head thing on my epilator. And I just buzz through it, so it's not all the way gone, so it won't be super painful when I use my epilator again, but it makes it really
that's
short.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Dollar Shave Club.
And then she also said a very nice thing. P.S. Love your podcast. I've used each episode to prompt a different conversation about sex / body positivity with my boyfriend, and he's already very open, so it's assisted in even more in-depth conversations, which has been great. Specifically sex as a goal-oriented task, as he has feelings of inadequacy when I'm not able to come. We've been working on it, but this podcast really helped.
Shut up.
We love hearing stuff like that.
That is
like,
the best.
The point of this is to like include everyone in conversations and like inspire like feeling comfortable having these conversations with other people in your lives.
I'm feeling emotional about that. I feel like crying. Thank you for sharing that. Yeah.
Thank you so much for sharing your thoughts with us. She also said, thank you both for opening up a forum for this kind of conversation. You all sound like my best friend. And I, when we talk about these things, you're creating a really healthy space. Badass as hell. Oh,
why am I
my heart?
Wait, seriously?
My soul.
I'm like actually tearing up. That fucking means so much.
It
that
really
means,
does.
We put so much of our heart into this, and like we mm-hmm. it means so much to us, so for us to know that it means so much to other people, like that goes such a long way,
because it is really like weird,
yeah,
to be so open about our sex lives,
yeah,
but the importance of like helping other people feel more comfortable to talk about these kinds of things so they can have better relationships and like more intimate even just like funny conversations about sex,
yeah.
Like, dating and sex is hilarious.
Yes.
It's objectively funny
mm-hmm.
and weird. And we all have some fucking weird experience.
Yeah.
And being open about it is, like, it just feels so good to be honest.
Yeah, it really does.
I do want to read a message that we got a few days ago in regards to our Consent is My Kink series. Mm-hmm. I really liked what this guy had to say. It was very interesting. But he said, new fan of the podcast, and the last two have left me somewhat angry and frightened. And this is before we released our episode with our friend Madison. So this is specifically about Consent is My Kink. I used to be very into the clubbing and bar scenes, and I was the guy that protected women, both friends and strangers alike. I had a list of taxi drivers I trusted and assisted in getting drunk girls home safe, even to the point I was once attacked by a group of men who got upset with me for putting one woman into a taxi instead of letting her go home with them.
Wow.
Big respect.
Yeah.
Prior to that, my best friend and I used to teach self-defense to women who had been in a domestic violent relationship.
Wow.
I'm angry that some men are still raised in environments where they are taught and encouraged to disrespect and objectify women. I'm now frightened because I now have two daughters of my own and fear for their future safety. I can teach them to be safe and how to protect themselves, each other, and others, but I shouldn't need to. Please keep up the good work with the podcast.
Wow. Wow. So that's the kind of stuff that it's like, it keeps our spirits alive, that there are men out there that gain nothing from helping their female friends out and still put themselves into positions to be attacked by other men, because that's an argument that I hear a lot, like, well, we don't want to get attacked. It's like, okay,
neither do we. He's like kind of a childhood friend. He's like I grew up in the same neighborhood as him, and he's a few years younger than me, but he's an EMT now, and homie has gains. He is a short king and very muscular.
Hell yeah.
But he was at a bar in Las Vegas, and it's called Parkway Tavern. I'm sure you Vegas listeners have heard of it. And are cringing.
Oh, no.
But it's called Parkway Tavern. And he was out with some friends. And a girl there was just, like, incoherent and very drunk. And this group of guys were trying to, like, take her with them to, like, take her home. And he was like, do you know this girl? Because I think he knew her from, like, high school or something. He's like, they were like, do you know this girl? And this group of guys was like, hey, fuck off, mind your own business. And he was like, okay, what's her name? And then they didn't know her name. And he was like, she's not going home with you. And him and his friends fought these fucking guys and got this girl home. Like,
fuck.
Got her in
house. Yes.
I also recently saw a tweet where someone was at a club and, or maybe a bar, whatever. They're the same thing at some place, a club and a bar. And a woman told the bartender, I saw that guy put something in that girl's drink. And the bartender told someone at the club, and then they turned on all the lights, turned off the music, and said, someone in this club has been, their drink has been, something was put in it. So all of the ladies can return their drinks and get a new one for free. And the music stayed off and the lights stayed on, and everyone continued to have a good time because, like, no one was mad that they were taking care of each other. Like, and that
I just got chills all over my body. It's just like,
that should just be the expectation.
It should. You know? It should. That is, I want to know what that bar is, and I want to go, and I want to blow all my money at that bar.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
You don't need to sponsor us. We will sponsor you.
Yeah. Fuck yeah. We're renaming this podcast after your bar. Yeah. No more the Holy Hour. It's now fucking...
But
Jerry's, I don't know.
Like, this is the reason that we, like, you know, had this two-part series, because we want to continue these conversations and also shine a light on, like, positive things yes. that people are doing to, one, continue the conversation, and yep. two, like, you know, at least help us chip away at this big looming problem.
Well, yes, absolutely. Should we find a sex fact?
Oh, yeah, I forgot we do that.
Yeah, me too.
We haven't done a regular episode in...
It's too long.
Very long time.
Sex
fact of the week.
That was beautiful. That felt like more like sensual than normal.
Yeah, it was a little sensual.
Sex fact. Okay, health.com. I feel like we've used this before. The average sex session goes for 100 to 500 thrusts.
Interesting.
Ever been in the middle of a booty session and thought, I wonder how many thrusts that was? Yeah, neither have we, but apparently someone has, because researchers took the time to calculate that intercourse typically lasts 100 to 500 thrusts, according to a report in the journal Royal Society Open Science. So if that's how long sex lasts in thrusts, how long does it go for in minutes? A 2017 survey
of... I think we've covered minutes before.
We have, but it's different. It's a different number.
Oh, okay.
A 2017 survey of 3,836 people conducted by UK-based dating site SaucyDates.com, we're going to have to check that out, found that couples in the United States stay in the game for about 17 minutes and 5 seconds.
17.05.
Beautiful. Wow. This is becoming a musical podcast. Mm-hmm. And that's just intercourse, not foreplay. We heard 7 minutes. The last source was 7 minutes.
Yeah.
Wow.
And that was just penetrative sex yeah. and not foreplay.
Yeah.
So 17 minutes penetrative?
Yeah. That feels like, well.
Both of us are like staring into space. Like,
Do I have sex for 17 minutes?
It depends on what I'm doing.
I've been wearing my Apple Watch during sex, so I get the points.
That's so smart.
We get to sing to you this week. It's been a long time.
We love you, children.
Wow.
I don't know what we're doing.
This is evolved.
Yeah. I don't
email
know
us
for the best.
Yeah. holyhourpodcast@gmail.com. Add us at the Holy Hour, Twitter, Instagram, everything. Hit us up whenever you feel like it. Wow, we're out of practice with these outros.
We're rusty.